あ、ここいるんだ。
本当？見えないでしょ？どこにいるのかな？見えない。
あ、
こん
なところ。
Every once in a while, I send an email to Braden Moore. Since January 2016, Moore has been trying to beat his absurd Super Mario Maker level, a nightmare he appropriately titled Trials of Death. I've written about Moore several times for Waypoint at different points in his tireless and unsuccessful journey. The first time, he'd invested 385 hours into trying to finish it. Then it was 1,500 hours. Now it's nearly 2,000 hours. Those are the words, of course, of Patrick Klepek, who is here today on Waypoint Radio. It's Waypoint Radio episode 127, I believe. I think it's 127.
Sounds right.
Sure.
I
know it's in the 120s.
Say it with confidence.
There we go.
It's
That's
correct.
Right.
And joining me today, of course, other than Patrick, is Rob Zachney.
Hey, everybody.
And Austin Walk.
That's me.
And
we're
I'm,
all here.
I'm Danielle. I probably should have said that.
Thank you.
I'm Danielle. Just in case you didn't know, we're all here. We streamed for 72 hours yesterday. Within one day, 72 hours.
It felt like it at times.
We folded time
during
in on it.
The moment when we couldn't figure out the custom games, it felt
like
90 minutes. Yeah. I know it was like 15.
The part where Austin was transferring the HDMI out from one computer to
another.
Cringing
Natalie
had
in the
a
background.
Heart attack.
That was like
a heart attack.
2 minutes,
it
but
worked.
It felt like an hour.
She was actually angry. There was actual anger there, but biting her lip.
Yeah.
But actual anger.
Yes.
That
anxiety,
was
anger.
The most I've ever felt like the captain of the Millennium Falcon. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know what? We're just going to unplug it from the exterior input.
Sparks flying
sparks
everywhere.
Flying. We're going to plug it right into the desktop on your whatever. And like, it worked, sort of. It sort of worked.
Lost half my frame rate, but it did output a video
signal.
We had
to send half of it to the stream. So,
you know.
It worked out. If you didn't see that, you can watch it on Twitch, twitch.tv/waypoint, and sometime in the next few days it'll go up on our YouTube. So we had a really good time. So thank you for hanging out with us.
It was pretty good.
We made Rob do anime voices, so
we did.
Stream worth it.
Yes, yes.
It was all worth it for
there
that.
There was the moments where Rob clearly didn't want to do it, obviously thought the bit was tired, and his ability is... The bit became re-energized by Rob not wanting to do the bit anymore.
There was a point where Austin just looked at me and was like, Rob, this is the job. And I have never felt like, you know that scene in, the best Star Trek movie that's not a Star Trek movie, Galaxy Quest.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah, of course.
Where Rickman is putting on his makeup before going out to the con. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm not fucking doing it. I'm not doing it. Never again. I'm done with this. And he tries to leave, and they wrangle him back in. That was the closest I will ever come knowing that moment. It's like Austin's being like, it's the job.
That's what the money's for. You know? Like,
so we get paid for.
Yep.
There's like strategy games, and then Rob doing anime voices.
Rob doing anime voices.
By Grabthar's hammer.
I love how that it's Grabthor. God, that's
perfect.
So perfect.
Well, like, so the thing is, like, yesterday was kind of endless, right?
It was. That's exactly where I was going with this, is that yesterday, even though it was 8 hours and 38 minutes and 38 seconds, something
like that.
Something in there in the 8 to 9 hour range was a little bit endless. Just like Braden Moore's quest, to finish his own Mario Maker level so he can actually, you know, put it up on the servers and not just be, streaming it and kind of doing his own trials. And also, you also wrote a piece this week, Patrick, about desert golfing.
Yes.
And the second person ever to reach the actual end of
desert golfing.
The
desert golfing subreddit disagrees with that assertion.
Oh,
really?
No.
The second, to be public and share that they
sure.
had done it.
I see.
But whatever, it's a small group of people.
Is this the first one who's gotten this specific end screen?
Yes. And so, both those stories, inform, a general thing I'm curious about is people who, get hung up on a thing.
Yeah.
It's different reasons, right? Desert golfing was this guy's, hey, my kid's at a soccer practice and, I've got 45 minutes to waste. I'm going to play some desert golf.
Right.
And that was just, his game, his... In the same way that, we probably open Twitter too much, he opens desert golf. Probably a better use of time,
much more
to be
healthy
honest.
Use of his time.
Yeah.
And that just it became this thing. And, if you didn't read the story, desert golfing's stages are constructed randomly, but players play the same stages. There's an algorithm that creates the stages, but you play them in the same order as other players. And the creator of it Justin Smith, did not envision desert golf taking off, so he created an algorithm with bad code that he knew would produce impossible courses, but he's like, why would anyone play 20,000 holes anyway? I don't have to account for that. And he constantly found that he had to account for that. and the first person to beat Desert Golfing, in which the endings were added only because people requested an ending to be added to the game, you know, encountered that because he just managed to avoid an impossible course. And the guy I wrote about didn't, and, you know, you can read the details of that. But I'm always fascinated by people that kind of get kind of – they want to see a thing through. And for, you know, Desert Golfing, that's just a habitual scene. Like, he didn't care that about the ending so much as just, like, that was just his thing. Whereas, like, you know, Braden Moore is creating a level and – or created a level and is now 2,000 – at this point, probably 2,000 hours because he does it a couple hours a day into trying to complete – that level for Mario Maker. And you know, it's been interesting to watch his arc of like the different, like the rhetorically different ways he talks about that level.
Has he jumped from like position to position on it?
Well, it's gone from like an audience thing to a him thing, right? So it's like the reason you beat the level is so that the community can play it, right? Like that's Nintendo's, you know, hook, so that you have to prove that a level is beatable. And for him, it went from, like, I want to create this wild level and share with the community to, like, participate in Kaizo stages that are meant to be, like, really difficult and stuff like this. Now it's just, like, Mario Maker 2 is going to be announced probably this year. Right. Like, I don't say that with any informed speculation. That's just, like, of course they're going to make a sequel to that. And the community is going to move to that game. They're going to move off the Wii U. I don't know how Nintendo will handle, like, servers and stuff like that because they have a bad history of that.
They sure
like,
do.
There's not, like, it's not a, it's not an impossible world to imagine, like, all of Mario Maker stuff disappears.
Right.
And that he's thought about this, internalized that, and now he's just making it for himself. Like, the beating it, he's like, if they turn off the servers tomorrow, I will still beat it to say that I did it for myself.
And record it somehow, yeah.
Is there some way, does anyone know in Mario Maker for the game to know if it's beatable?
No.
So that means has he beaten each individual segment?
Yeah, it's beatable. The thing is, it's an 8-minute stage.
Okay.
Which is, 8.5 minutes is the max you can give the timer in Mario Maker.
Gotcha.
He's done each, so he always talks about the way he plays the game, and he splits it between actual playing, which is doing stringing together the whole level, the whole full 8 minutes to get to the goal, and then he calls editor time. And editor time is where you can drag Mario around and work on individual sections. So it's like if you're having trouble with a jump, it's like rather than having to get through 6 minutes of a level to work on that jump, you just dump Mario there. And so he's put significant time into the editor, stringing to that together. He's put together 90% of the stage, and the last 10% he is still kind of butting his head up against the wall, but... I'm just always curious, because like I'm not built that way. Like I'm just not like just have walked away. But I wonder if everyone has. I wonder if any of you like have like, obviously maybe not 2,000 hours, but like the kind of thing where you're just like, fuck it. Like I just need to do this.
I need to be perfect.
One of the things that's interesting about this is that these are sort of Desert Golfing was the other sort of game for me, which was it was similar. It was like, oh, this is a habitual thing. But like, I never want it to end. I never want to hit the final screen.
The guy I wrote about was like, actually, like, I wish there wasn't an ending because like, I want to keep playing Desert Golf.
Yeah, like, I'm not trying to get a. I'm just trying to complete whole. Like, completing a hole feels good.
Yeah.
My overall score doesn't matter. It's already terrible. I like went through a period where I just got really bad at Desert Golfing. It's like I'm never going to work that into a decent score again.
This guy is the opposite of that. So he would replay levels because he wanted to maintain a par of 3. So he in some of the really difficult.
I don't know how you do that.
Some of the really difficult stage. I think he would purposely not like finish a hole. I don't.
Yeah,
it's been a while. I don't know exactly. But anyway, he would only finish a hole if he could do it in 3 strokes. And a couple of the like really difficult holes, like really strung it up, and then he had to start working to bring that average down. And I believe it didn't go in the story, but I believe his average ended at 3.02, which he's super annoyed about.
Oh, wow.
It's just
that's
over.
A great average. Are you fucking kidding me?
Right. But, like, one of his, like, so for him, it was, that was his sort of, like, in the same way that like, playing 2,000 hours to beat it, like, his, like, meta hook was, like, keeping pace at a certain stroke count.
Totally. So, yeah, so for me, games like that or No Man's Sky or lots of roguelikes in general are things that I play because they provide that sort of, like, decompression that you get from a game that does not necessarily have a determined end. Mm-hmm. But that's not the same thing as, like, I'm going to fucking beat this Mario Maker level. It's just taking a long time.
Right.
So if you'd beaten that in 20 hours or in 2 hours, like you can beat most Mario Maker levels, he would be done and that would be out of his life. But instead it's transformed into this lifelong conquest. It's White Whale, right? His, like, his movie.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dick.
I always love stories about players making their own fun in a single player game. Because I feel like this is a really pretty popular concept in multiplayer, right? Because multiplayer changes by nature of being multiplayer. You have other factors, you have other variables, you have other people playing with you, right? But when it's like a single player game, mm-hmm. and somebody devotes chunks of their life to making their own fun in the game, like making their own goals, making their own fun, and that fun is already like a ridiculous challenge, it's a such a weird and fascinating phenomenon.
So I think, to me, like, I find it a slightly intimidating phenomenon.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think part of it is, I think a lot of us have these tendencies. And the thing is, you're not going to fall in every trap. Like, but these traps are like exist in games, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but you don't know which one is going to be baited for you, the one that's going to turn you into Ahab, like pursuing the whale like around the world to, yeah. you know, to a watery grave. But like, I have this fear, like, it could just happen. Right,
sure.
Like, I'm like, boy, I would definitely never spend 2,000 hours of my life doing a Mario Maker level just to prove that I can, like, you know, like complete my masterpiece.
Yeah.
But what if, like, Mario Maker 2 comes out on Switch and I'm like, yeah, but okay, but I've got a really good level here and I need
right.
to do this. Like,
yeah.
And I think, like, you know, there are some games that do lend themselves to this, but I think there's a tendency, you never know what is going to become, for reasons you can't fully articulate, just your obsession, right? Like, you just have to do this. Like, you know, I remember, like, watching Danielle go through The Witness and, like, actively, like, mostly disliking a lot of what that game was about and what it was saying.
Absolutely.
But you were going to be damned if you didn't get those puzzles.
Goddamn right.
Yeah, and like, I think for me, it's, you know, if you start playing, like dumb metal challenges. Like, mm-hmm. I want that gold tier everything.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Right. That is definitely a thing for me. Yeah. When I used to play lots of Rock Band, I think I've said this before, maybe not on this podcast, but if I was playing by myself, I quit when I restarted a song when I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. I never ever didn't get a perfect on a song on any difficulty level. I never recorded a score unless it was maybe not a score. Right? You can get better than perfect, right? Based
right.
on, like, you know, solo sections and, like, the whammy bar or whatever. But I didn't miss a note. And if I missed a note, I'd start the song over. And, like, go. And I wasn't going into the practice mode to get better.
This is
I
the moment where your therapist,
yes.
like, impassively makes a note.
Yes. Yep. So I actually wrote about this years ago for Paste. I did a review of Helldivers, which was that top-down kind of space marines. Very,
oh, I remember that, yeah.
What's the sci-fi novel that it rips
Hammer Slimers?
No.
Starship
Troopers. Starship
okay.
Troopers. Spelljammers, yeah. Starship Troopers.
Is this a Housemarque game?
No, it's the people who made Magicka.
I'm told on my
side. Oh, there. Right. And it's like a PS4 exclusive, right?
PS4, PS4, PC, and Vita with crossplay.
Of course, yeah.
That game was great because you fucked up. You had to fuck up. And it was a sort of game that made me confront my weird perfectionism.
Mm.
Where it's like, I'm not going to get a perfect score. I'm playing in multiplayer and I'm probably going to friendly fire somebody.
Right.
And, like, that helped break this really bad perfectionist streak in me for games. And so, like, I had that. But thankfully, Rock Band songs are 5 minutes long. And even on hard, like, I was never playing on the hardest difficulty.
Right.
I was playing on hard. And so, like, even on that level.
Not an expert.
You're right. Yeah. I was going to get that song. It was not going to take 400 hours for me to play Through the Fire and Flames or whatever.
Right.
Which is actually on Guitar Hero anyway. But whatever. You get my point.
It's fair. I got like this with Dishonored 2 last year.
I became
such a perfectionist. I needed to find every single item, every single secret. I needed to have... I was not a perfectionist about being seen.
Hmm.
I was a perfectionist about killing people. Like, I could not have a death in a level, or I would reset even if I spent 8-9 hours in a level.
That's a good thing in life to be a perfectionist about, not killing people.
Yeah, but the problem in Dishonored 2 is that, like, there were instances where if you left a body that you knocked out, like in an alleyway or something like that,
the rats would eat its face.
And so you'd find out after you've beaten a level, yo, actually, you killed someone. It's like, no, I didn't. The rats
did.
Like, I was unconscious and was mauled to death by rats.
Yep.
I've told you guys about, like, the corpse gulch that I had in Thief 1, right?
No. The corpse gulch, I remember. Please,
I don't
please
know about
do.
Okay, I think I've talked about this. Might have been that a weekend. Okay, so there's this level, like escape from Crag's Cleft Prison in Thief 1.
Uh-huh.
You have to bust your fence out of jail.
Okay.
And it's this really, it's a really creepy-ass prison. It's like a cut into a mountain, and it's all pitch black, and there's guards patrolling it. But there's also, like, an exposed part of the prison that has, like, the waterway. It's like how the, it's where the water outlet is for the whole prison. And, you, like, you can, it's like a tiny little pond. And I was knocking out all these guards. And if guards see a knocked out, like, body, they're like, holy shit, like, we got a problem here. You know, it's a stealth game. Yeah,
yeah, that's the right answer.
Yeah. So I was like,
also a good life ethos. Yeah. Like, yo, a body.
Yo, got a problem here.
So I couldn't find a place where these bodies would, like, not be seen. But I realized that if you just tossed them into this, like, pond, they wouldn't be seen. But I'm figuring it's like, this is video game logic.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is unconscious. Like, I'm going to toss it into this water. He's a fucking, like, he's an AI character. Like, he doesn't actually need to breathe. Like, he's an unconscious, like, game
right.
state thing.
Why would they ever have brought in, like, lung capacity for a guard character at that point in time in gaming? I get it. I get it.
Yeah. And what I forgot is that Looking Glass, well, no, sorry. What you don't realize until you've played other Looking Glass
right.
games is that Thief is actually one of their more approachable ones. It's one of their less, like, oh, man, we want to create systems for everything.
Uh-huh.
But that is who they were at their heart. And so, like, I did this, and I basically depopulated that prison. And, like, each time, I just, like, added more. And they have these, like, really colorful, like, red, like, jester's uniforms almost. So I kept dragging these guards out and tossing them in there. Ploop. And eventually you stop even hearing splashing because there's now a pyramid of guards like in
they're
that
just
like,
hitting bodies
yeah it's now stacked
yeah.
So I basically clear out the level and I complete it and nobody ever saw me
yeah
and I was like all right I'm a ghost
the end
and then I get the score screen
okay
and it's like you killed 50 people and I was like oh okay I guess you have to run that again but yeah.
Or do you
corpse gulch.
Sometimes. Did you run it again?
I mean, eventually on a different playthrough.
Okay.
Oh, but like
but
you accepted this canonical version of events.
Yeah, no, that
Gareth
that,
learned
that,
a lot from that experience.
Yeah, no, that became like Gareth's like origin story.
Like,
he's
oh.
like,
oh, murder! He got the bill in the mail for 50 murders. Yo, whoopsie! My bad. Shouldn't have ordered that appetizer.
It was negligent homicide, not murder.
I like, get it. That's was that the defense that you brought to the court?
Yeah, pretty much.
God,
I didn't know their lungs would fill with water and they
that's,
would die.
That's the origin say. Story for Thief 2.
Gotcha.
Well, you were also doing this with Mario and Rabbids.
Yes.
Or Mario plus Rabbids.
Yes.
Kingdom Battle.
Colon Kingdom Battle.
If anybody
Kingdom.
Got knocked out.
Some games don't put a colon.
I know. Assassin's Creed Origins, no
has
colon.
Has a colon. The colon battle.
Gotcha. The colon battle. What? How is that? Are you? Have you completed your challenge?
Every ultimate challenge.
You're done.
Every.
So you're out. There's no.
I need the DLC. Is what I need.
It sounds like you're
need
not
to
complete.
Get more DLC.
Well, and they just released.
Which isn't out yet. Yeah.
Or there. Who
no,
is
they,
bringing
they,
in?
It's
there
is
a first pack,
okay.
right?
Yeah. There's a challenge pack, and then there's a story add-on that's coming out in the spring that adds the Donkey Kong.
I'm excited
so
about that.
Is this a thing that has happened? So again, for me, it's these little micro things where it's like I need to beat every song perfectly, or it's the other thing, which is like I want games that I can just fall into endlessly. Do any of you have like another variation on that where it's maybe not about completing a thing, but it's just like this is a thing that slots into my life really nicely. Like I know a lot of people play Destiny or play other MMOs in this way, where it's like, oh, I lost thousands of hours to it, not because I was like winning, just because it was. Like
it was a chat room.
It was a chat room. It was it was an activity I really liked on its face. Like people like chess this way, you know.
Drop seven.
Really?
I know it's made for that. It's actually this is what it's designed for. This is the game I play on airplanes and subways and have for like 6 or 7 years at this point.
Was it killed as part of like the switch to 64-bit or is that did that game get updated? Can you still use
I don't
it
even,
on modern phones?
I use it on my phone.
Okay.
I don't know if
probably,
I have like the new
safe.
Version or anything.
They force
but.
You to update at some point, so you're probably okay.
Oh my god.
As long as
there was a great purging of a bunch of like really good iPhone games when they switched everything over to 64-bit.
Oh my god.
And
some
understandably,
developers
did not go back. And
right.
Well, there was a statement put out by Sumogo Games that they made like Year Walk.
Yes.
Wonderful game.
Right,
Device 6.
That's
one of my favorite games.
Device 6 is so good.
Have you played Device 6?
You both should play Device 6 if you haven't played Device 6.
I clearly need to.
Oh, it's...
It's like, you know The Prisoner, the 1960s BBC show that I fucking love? It's like The Prisoner, but like a kind of interactive fiction visual, not even visual, like a toy box, like a...
It really smartly uses like with your phone or your tablet and like your you have to like turn it and it's... I don't want to say too much about it. You should just play Device 6.
It's a little bit like... trying to think of, it's like it's definitely in an interactive fiction like higher or heritage or something.
It's in that world.
It's in that world, but like it isn't quite just like IF. Like because there are lots of like it's almost like the room, the iPad game.
Yes,
and that like lots of like tinkering boxes, with things, lots of puzzle boxes, but puzzle boxes, but pages as puzzle boxes, words as puzzle boxes. Ooh, it's really fascinating.
I like that.
And they put out a statement where they said like we're getting out of mobile development. Right. We're tired of updating our games every couple of years for these new fucking devices.
Well, it's interesting because I think phones actually make more of these sorts of games that fit into our lives these way. Because for a lot of people, maybe some people listening, like the answer to this is Candy Crush. The answer to this is
or some variation on it, like Drop 3, you know.
Right, or some variation on
Quasi Cupcake.
Quasi Cupcakes. Clash of Clans or Clash Royale or
Puzzle Quest for a while for sure.
Totally, totally. I always want more of these games in my life, and I go looking for them, and like don't find them, and it's always a bummer, especially
hard
on mobile.
To find.
They are.
Yeah. I think for me, in 2017, it was definitely you and I winning
Battlegrounds.
PUBG. Yeah, like that became like a thing where it's like it was like it informed the games I was playing.
Right there, right behind you. Yeah, exactly. You got your banner.
I ended up
radio,
playing,
I know.
Lifted to the rafter.
Retire the number.
Yep.
I was playing it at night because I wanted to get ready for like the stream the next day. Like even though that game never ends, it's just a round ends. Like, and that becomes like a meta narrative of like what you're doing. It became like an obsessive point for me. I was like, we have to win a round.
Well, then we fucking won late at night.
Yeah,
once.
We won one privately, and then had to have the debate of. This
does
isn't,
that count?
This wasn't canonical with your Crowbar and Sickle, so it doesn't actually count.
I was so
as a
frustrated.
Win.
That win was so much. That was a good win.
It was a
win.
Much better win. Like,
Yeah. Like,
because we lucked into
a good circle.
The canonical win where we were able to just hide in a room and people rushed in and, we've died to that a billion times before. Like, that's a hard thing when you're trying to invade a room and two people are already in there set up with shotguns. But that one, we were in bushes, we were on a hill.
Oh.
Like, you were like about to go down, and then I came up and like burst
so
shot at it.
I was like, by the tree. It was a whole thing. Well, one of the things I think is interesting too is a lot of this sort of game does. I said like mobile games kind of fit into this category a lot with people, but also just like I think about technology and how technology is a way. New technology is often built towards this end to some degree, right? Towards the like the endless game, either or not just technology in the very like. The like
microchips.
Fancy microchip sense, but in terms of design,
games as a service.
Games
as
a service
is
one
idea.
Of these things.
Yeah.
But also, some user generated content is one of these things, which isn't a technology in what we think about as technology, but is a technology, right? Like something like Mario Maker. The reason that he can do that is Brendan. Brendan is his name. It's a different Brendan. It's not Brendan.
Not Brendan Green.
Different Brendan. Yeah.
It's because like Nintendo built a game that was about making content and sharing content.
Right.
If this had been just a game that just had the same content for everybody.
Right.
The one way you could do this is through speedrunning, right? Which is like, I'm going to get a better time over and over and over again. So you can always do it that way. But something like user-generated content or like procedural generation opens up game styles that traditionally would not be repeatable in that same way to being repeatable. And a thing that I think is always interesting, and we talked about this a lot during No Man's Sky, is like, what is the... It's not just what is the appeal, but sometimes that appeal goes like... off the rails, and you see people who say things like Star Citizen is the last game I'm ever going to play, or No Man's Sky is the last game I'm ever going to need to play, and then No Man's Sky comes out, and they're like, oh, this is not the game I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And the answer is like, there isn't a game that's like the thing that you thought it would be. Like, that isn't the whatever is in that game is still going to be limited to some degree.
So I think there's two things that they're getting a little conflated here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's the idea of the forever game.
Yeah.
But that's different from the endless game, right? The endless chase.
I think
to an extent.
I think
like,
those two things are. I think there's an overlap. I think that there are people for which the forever game is their endless chase, and they're looking for that thing to get excited about.
If they
about.
Have a specific goal in their endless game.
Or, no, no, no.
Sorry,
I'm saying,
in their forever
I'm saying
game.
In the marketplace.
I see.
They
I see.
Want the forever game to exist.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why this entire, like, No Man's Sky, like, was an invented. The idea of No Man's Sky was, like, a mass hallucination to an extent. Mm-hmm. Like, like, if you read between the lines, like,
100% with you.
For a long yeah. time, it was clear that I knew that game wasn't going to be for me. Like, if you wanted to have, like, space adventures and shoot 'em, like, at no point were they ever really promising that game. And yet, like, there was this collective, like, people convincing themselves of, like, so this is basically going to be, like, you just go live your life in space.
Yeah.
Like, Journey
like,
Among
what
the
are
stars
you talking
forever.
About?
I remember the first demo, like, I saw of that game when I was at Giant Bomb. All of us went because we were very excited to see what that game was. And we're like, Vinny and I coming out and going, I don't think I'm going to like this game. And then Brad was on the other side of it and was like, no, I think, like, it's going to go, like,
right.
I want, like, Wing Commander, and, like, I don't think this game is that.
So there was another part where, sorry, this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but I felt like another thing that happened around No Man's Sky was particularly from, like, more, I think maybe academic or design-minded critics or other designers.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of coincided with this moment of, like, this ebbs and flows, you know, over time, but, like, there are times when people just are tired of games that are about, like, shooting things and blowing them up, and, like, no, man, like, play can just be whatever. It
I just
have to
walk
be...
through caves and yeah. take pictures of animals.
And that's that's play, too. That's a perfectly good game. And it absolutely is.
Mm-hmm.
But is it a perfectly good forever game? Like, is that something you can just do forever?
Right.
Like, you know, when I was hearing... Jeff Bacalar ages ago on Beastcast talking about, like, you know, going to Hawaii. After 3 weeks in Hawaii, you're ready to get the fuck out of Hawaii. Like, you know, you're seeing, like,
I don't know. I have plans to start a coffee farm. We yep. made plans the other day.
Or the Vegas effect. Like, 40 hours of Vegas
right.
is all you can do.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, like, I think the other thing that happened was, like, people wanted to believe that they were the sort of person for whom
Ooh.
No Man's Sky was going to be enough.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Like, yeah, I can just... go explore space and, like, you know, index animals and, like, just stare at shit. That's who I am.
Right.
That's who I am as a person. And no, because what Star Citizen realized is actually you just want to be a capitalist. You
want to
be a capitalist.
You want the numbers to go up.
Like, yeah, you want to be like Maverick, like in Top Gun, but with, like, a small business behind you. And, like,
uh-huh.
that's really what you
want. That's what happens, and that's in my fanon for Top Gun. Maverick and Goose, they stop being pilots. They keep being pilots, but what they start doing is they're doing pesticide runs in their crop dusters in their coffee farm in Hawaii, and they live happily ever after, and they're friends.
Organic,
they don't
organic
wear
pesticides,
shirts.
Though, of
no.
course. Really?
Yeah, they're dangerous. They do bad things.
Yeah, come on. Like Maverick?
Oh, my God.
His name is Maverick.
Goose.
They're shirtless in there. They're going to be inhaling that stuff.
I know. It's a tragedy.
They just want to enjoy it. They just want to live life together.
No, of course, it'll work out. Goose gets, like, some sort of, like, terrible rare cancer.
Yeah,
fucking
he's
going to
get gross diseases.
And he'll have been the one being, like, look, we should really stop using this shit because
uh-huh.
I know I'm bringing.
And Maverick is like, but the margins. I can't afford the organic stuff.
Oh
I can't afford
Goose,
the stuff.
This is a market-rich environment. Like
classic Maverick line.
Yeah. Okay, very.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Rob secretly revealed to the writer of Top Gun 2.
Oh, fuck, I forgot that's happening.
It's happening.
Oh my God, these are not mm-hmm. hypothetical.
He sings a song to him, like, as he's in his bed,
yep.
like,
dying
of dying. Whatever horrible thing. He's just sort of singing
that
to him.
I love your feeling. That's what he says.
I love your feet.
All right. If you missed the stream yesterday, a lot happened.
Your feet.
But I think, so the Forever game is like this. You can just go in there and all your joys and wishes will endlessly be granted.
Right.
It's the dream of, like, you know, I wish that every day could start with, like, you know, an Easter egg hunt and end with Christmas. Like, you know, all the highlights. You go trick-or-treating.
I think that's part of it, but I also think that the other thing is a lot of those people who said, like, I'll just be a space photographer, that'll be exciting, assume that space photography would be really fun by itself. And, like, fun for them, even though they may not have ever engaged with photography before, real
right.
photography,
right.
and thought about what that looks like. Or expected that content to be somehow endlessly deeper or always new in a way that it was never going to be. That they would be unearthing the histories of infinite civilizations with procedurally generated history, with procedurally generated cities, with, like, not just there are alien species that you can take pictures of, but you can cut them open and they have, like, you find out what their anatomies are. And, like, it just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. And for me, that promise is one of the promises that we get across genre when it does come to procedural generation and when it does come to, like, how marketers want to sell these games that often are just a good time for 10 hours, right? Like, yeah. And that can be – I think it's interesting to see how marketers adapt to selling a game that sometimes is just like, no, it's just a fun time for a few hours. You're going to like it, but don't expect that it's going to be more than that.
Yeah. One thing – oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say with No Man's Sky in particular, I worry about sort of like an effect of the human brain that you just get used to doing the same thing over and over, and it's not fun anymore. And that was like the most ultimate expression of that was like there's millions of planets – you're doing the same shit on all of them. Yeah. And it kind of looks the same. Not the same. There's different colors. There's different things. But, like, you get the patterns. You get the patterns.
I'm going to go mine. I'm going to go find whatever I need, plutonium to fill my ship.
And our brains suck at being excited about anything, even an incredible, wonderful thing like millions of planets, which on its face sounds like, that's so exciting. That's so amazing. But really, like
being a space
once you're used
probe,
to it, you're fucking bored. Right, and that's like a depressing thing I think about our like brains in certain ways.
I kind of feel like this sort of ties into like maybe the Space 4X genre.
I was going to say,
Like, but this idea that space is going to be like infinitely and that endlessly interesting. But the thing is, if the thing that is most interesting to you is like, man, like just... There's got to be a bunch of big ass planets out there, and that'd be really cool if like, I could find them and explore
some big
them.
Boys.
Like,
yeah, some big boys. Big boy season.
Tis the season.
Tis the season.
But
2018's like, big boy season. Let's go.
Sometimes I think about like the diversity of experience and environment and culture and people on this one planet. Sometimes in the same fucking city.
Yes.
And I get like vertigo thinking about it. And this is what like no science fiction can really bring to life because like nobody has the imagination to generate a universe that has all those elements and no algorithm is
taking 7.5 billion of us to get to that point anyway.
Right. Well, like that's the thing. It's like a lot of it does the Star Trek thing. And I'm guilty of this as a writer and as a creator. It's like, oh, that's the desert one. They're merchants. That's the pleasure planet. That one, it's icy and they're cold and they're spies and it's cool. Like, these are literal things. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the spy planet. You're good. But whereas in reality, like, spies live next door to people who work at Chinese food restaurants, who live next door to agriculturalists, who are people who grow weed in their apartment, by the way. That's what I meant. Who live next door to politicians, who have like you said,
man,
a complete diversity.
I can't wait to watch the next season of The Americans.
Neither can
I. I'm like hearing this.
But
that's let me tell you where else spies live.
Right. Well, this goes back
that's
to that.
That's what
like,
Elizabeth is doing this season.
What's that classic, the Warren Spector, like, city block RPG? There's, like, the dream for him was, like, I want to make one city block that is, like, a perfect realized with all the diversity of humanity, which is like kind of a stuffy dream to some degree. I think I wrote last year that Hitman ended up doing that really well. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that made Hitman work was like
you kill your way you fucking, through it.
You like
throw
people.
You know expired cans of spaghetti sauce at people. It's like what a perfect beautiful bonk. Fuck you. Fuck your whole life. Your routine. Guess what? Me too. It's knocking people out.
Join my body pile over
here. My body
gulch.
Like except it's in an ocean on a villa.
Exactly. But I think that the other thing there, though, like to counter my argument, which is like, oh, games can't do that thing. The other thing that games do well, and that is the reason that people play a game for 2,000 hours, 3,000 hours, is when you're not just looking for content to make you happy, you can sometimes find game design and like clever interaction and like an actually endless interesting loop or not loop, endless interesting possible configurations of just mechanics of just like this is why people do spend thousands of hours playing Dota and chess and like competitive games. Drop 7.
You find new layers.
There are new layers, exactly. The strategy to thinking through like what your personal like tactics are, all that stuff. Yeah. XCOM, lots of strategy games fit into this. People lose thousands of hours to Civ, not because they're looking for new things to discover, but because they're like working on some sort of like long-term project of getting good at that game.
Well, and I think a lot of these games, I'm thinking a lot of like what Paradox Achievements and EU4 are, right? Like just various, like, you know, can you take, you know, the German principality of like Utrecht and like conquer the world with it, like which is not going to happen, except maybe it can. There's an achievement for it, I think. No, I think it's Ulm. Anyway, the point is, like, but...
Mm-hmm.
I think what a lot of these games also do is they tell you there's this reality where you can do something truly amazing, like something improbable that like only the most skilled and elite and insightful, like you, but you can do it. Like it's, if somebody came like into this room, Patrick, and was like, look, you don't know this, but there is a set of steps you can do.
Okay.
That ends with you being president of the United States and solving poverty for all time.
All time.
In the United States. And that's how people remember
it. Oh, just
you.
Here. Okay.
But you have to do...
Fuck the world.
But you have to do these
steps.
Shitholes.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But you have
we
to
got
do,
there.
Fuck Donald Trump.
But you have to do like... But so that possibility exists. And it's the series of like needles that you have to thread. Mm-hmm. But you have to be perfect. Yep. You get one shot to do that. In a game... It's like you can just try again
load
and
that
again
save.
And again
a million
to make
times.
This happen. Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna stop poverty. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be there.
I don't care how many assassinations I need to perform.
How many people do I need to kill?
Right.
To solve
everybody's
poverty.
Dead.
We colonized our way into this mess, and by God, we're gonna colonize our way out of it.
And if you disagree, let me show you the body gulch.
Pull curtain
but,
back.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of these games
stuffy
are like,
in there.
Look, this like amazing achievement that you can't even like fathom yet. Like, it's within your, it's in within your abilities. Like, it's mechanically there. You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Try again. And occasionally, a switch will flip in your head, and you're like, well, that's my life now.
That's it. I'm gonna take over America as the German state of Ohm, and then get rid of poverty. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
I mean, on a really very basic level, is this why we like games?
Yeah,
we
right?
have this sense of mastery over variables that we never actually
yeah, like systems and challenges.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of games, right?
Sure.
Like,
I'm sorry, that's a very broad statement, of course.
But yeah. Yeah.
Certain types of games.
Like, as a young
play.
Person,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
As a young person, it was like, oh, I can always dunk and double dribble. I figured it out. I know how to dunk on my uncle in double dribble. I'm
going
to fucking crush him every time.
And an NBA Jam.
Exactly. Exactly.
Take that, uncle.
That's right. But yeah, I think one of the things that's been interesting about games, this goes to what Rob was saying, is like the No Man's Skies of the world and many other ones, we're in a moment where we're like, oh, I don't need to, this isn't about mastery. This is about just experiencing a story, experiencing a world, letting something wash over you, not killing all the bad guys fastest or you know, dunking on your uncle. It is just walking around a nice planet. It is just reading a story or experiencing a story and falling in love with characters and asking about how long their eyelashes are and how pretty their feet are.
Oh, yeah.
This is a reference to a stream again. You should watch that stream. Otherwise, it's going to be...
How hot their dads are.
For instance.
Yeah, that's really important.
Handsome. Very handsome. Very handsome.
I think for some players, it's also about, like, chasing the dragon again, right? So I think you see this with, like Dark Souls.
Little feet. Little claws. Little talons.
I hate this. I hate this.
Sort of scrabbling along.
Rob,
the cracky
what do you
screens.
Own?
We have 5 minutes.
What,
yeah.
what do you
yeah,
own
yeah.
that's got lace, Rob?
How do you feel about lace feet?
Lace and frills.
Mm-hmm.
Chasing the dragon.
Yeah, look at like Dark Souls, and this is true for a lot of games where like that experience you have the first time, the reason you see people playing like Dark Souls with like Donkey Konga drums or like
right.
with the DDR
yes.
pad.
Right.
It's like and some level.
Or even just
it's,
like I'm not, as the one who doesn't get any equipment at the start.
Right,
I'm
or
like,
I don't get hit. Or like I'm gonna be soul level one and get
exactly.
all the
exactly.
Like in some level it's like trying to bait someone like myself to write an article about you. True. But I think on another level it's trying to recapture like that feeling you had the first time of like an insurmountable challenge the game no longer offers, and then giving yourself arbitrary challenges that
right.
try to reproduce that feeling again of like having to relearn something within a similar framework. Like, I understand how Dark Souls works, but I need additional gates on top of that that the game
right.
doesn't offer. And it, like doing those weird things like that, like I'm not going to level up, like I'm going to use a strange controller, is like a way of giving yourself that sensation a second time, because all you want is to revisit that,
that
feeling
first
you had
feeling.
The first time you played
those
that
game. Those breakthroughs are so good.
Yes.
And when you have that breakthrough when you're slapping some Donkey Konga drums, like on some level I think it is like trying to achieve like that same emotional high again,
yeah.
knowing that you can never actually go back to feeling it the first time.
Oh, tell me about
and
it.
And so we beat on.
So we beat
on. You know what? I actually have a way for Patrick to become maybe not America, but there is a way I think Patrick could save hunger and prevent poverty and rise to power.
Eat a bagel?
This is a little surprise for Patrick. It's
oh
not
my
a
god.
Bagel. I wish I had it.
Oh
wish
my
I
god, live surprise.
So... Do you know what this is?
Is that a college brochure?
It really looks like
brochure.
A college brochure.
So about a year and a half ago now, I was in San Francisco for Game of the Year for Giant Bomb. And while there, they were moving offices. We were moving offices at the time from the third floor down to the first floor. And I was taking things. Like, I think I got the Transformers movie. Transformers the movie while I was there. Yeah. Some bad CDs, some decent books. And one of these I found in a drawer. And I was like, Jeff, what is this? And he said, oh, you should probably take that. You'll probably see him before me. And I have, and I've been holding on to this for a while.
Lord titles.
At some point a few years ago, Patrick, you were given a lordship.
I don't know if you remember this.
I remember this.
But it says, Lord Patrick Klepek. This certificate asserts the legal rights to assume the honorific title Lord Patrick Klepek of Hogan Manor. Furthermore, Lord Patrick Klepek shall be assigned the dedicated land within Hogan Manor Estate, Cumbria, England. The assignment number is S1141-7257. The assigner is Hogan Manor Limited and duly registered and validly existing under the laws of England. The validity, interpretation, and implementation of this assignment shall be governed by the laws of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
What?
He doesn't need to be a citizen of the UK for this to be...
Lord Klepek. Oh, okay. On behalf of ZQ Game, we bequeath you, to you a deed to your own piece of land, Tommy Williams, PR guy, at Tommy Spinkick. This came to you years ago,
and I've been
holding it in protection. I think this is like a foot of land. I think you have to sign this.
Oh my! So you're like his retainer.
This is legit.
I've been his retainer for years, like, before we worked together.
Right.
Right. I knew.
You have land. You're a landowner,
Patrick. Your grandfather entrusted this to me.
And to you, Rob, I also bring you a thing I didn't know I had. Daedalic Entertainment sounds the bell for the season of strategy games. Dear Jason,
wait,
the season of strategy games has begun. Daedalic Entertainment, a leading developer and publisher of narrative-driven interactive games, has launched Valhalla Hills and Bounty Chain on Steam Early Access.
Big boys and strategy?
Use codes to Bounty Chain and Valhalla Hills, which is about a Viking clan struggling to survive in a harsh mountain region.
Well, I'll be honest,
when I saw you pull the packet, I saw it said... It says Lord Titles.
Just says Lord Titles.
I thought that said Lord Titties.
Well, Patrick, I have a way for you to prevent poverty.
I was trying to figure out, like, why does he have a packet that says Lord Titties?
Meet your new lord, residents of Hogan Manor.
Danielle, I didn't know that was in there. Otherwise, I would have had something for you, too.
This is so beautiful.
But I think that's...
It's all right. You know, the truest gift is that I get to end this podcast right now. I feel I'm so proud. I'm so happy.
You should register this.
I'm going to England, y'all.
I should visit your 1 foot of land or whatever.
In England. I can't even believe it. If you want to own land in England, come visit us on waypointnotbyes.com and learn all the steps you need to take to become a landowner or a president or somebody.
ZQ Games.
I have no idea.
Somebody, Tommy.
Shout out to Tommy, who could be listening.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, Tommy. You can find all the stuff we do at waypointnotbyes.com. Of course, we're on Twitter at Waypoint. We are on YouTube at Waypoint Vice. We're on Facebook at Waypoint Vice. Shout outs to Bowen for letting us use the track Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. Thank you so much, Rob. Where can we find you?
At Rob Zachney on Twitter.
Austin.
At Austin_Walker on Twitter.
Lord Patrick Klepek.
Of Hogan Manor.
Of Hogan Manor. Where can we find you online?
At, where is it listed? Where's my spot?
There's a whole pamphlet here. We'll have to look through. There's heraldry.
Find me in Cumbria, England.
Look at this.
Is that a place?
Wait, are those stags pumping his crest?
Do I own the dedicated land? Each title pack comes with 5 square feet of dedicated land.
5 feet?
Estate.
I thought it was 1 foot. You got 5.
This is personal land dedication and does not constitute a transfer of land ownership.
Oh. Oh, okay.
So I'm just, this is dedicated
your
to
name
me.
Is on it. Yeah. Your name is
it's
on
yours.
It.
You're a lord. It says
you're
so.
A lord. Okay. You're a real lord. All right,
you can
that's
follow
perfect.
Me at thethickgamer.com.
The Thick Gamer.
Hopefully someone has registered that by now. If not, please do.
I'm
figure
so
it out.
Proud.
Danielle,
so
what
proud.
About
I'm
you?
I'm so proud to be in the room of a lord. With a real lord.
Where can people find you?
People can find me at Danielle or I. Thank you all so much. We appreciate all the things you do by listening to us and watching our stuff. I remind you to be good and be good at it.
Visit Waypoint, my lord.
Peace.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.